Hey, welcome back to Politico Tech. Today's Wednesday, April 10th. I'm your host, Stephen Overley. There's a new data privacy bill floating around Capitol Hill this week. And at first glance, it seems to have a lot of potential. It's backed by the chairs of two powerful committees, Representative Kathy McMorris Rodgers and Senator Maria Cantwell, one a Republican and one a Democrat, one in the House and the other in the Senate. But I've been covering tech a pretty long time, long enough to see these attempts at bipartisan privacy legislation start and stall. The last time around was in 2022, when a piece of legislation with language similar to this new bill came up short. Politico privacy reporter Alfred Ang has covered these bills up close too. And while there seems to be some momentum behind this latest proposal, Alfred tells me many sticking points that have sunk past efforts could also get this one. On the show today, Alfred and I assess the outlook for privacy legislation in this Congress. Well, hey, Alfred, welcome back to Politico Tech.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So a new privacy bill dropped over the weekend, the American Privacy Rights Act. What's so significant about this bill?
Yeah, so this bill is a pretty big deal in the sense that it is the first time that there's really been bicameral and bipartisan support for a federal data privacy push. So this bill was introduced by both the chair of the Senate Commerce Committee, Maria Cantwell, and the chair of the House Energy and Commerce Committee, Kathy McMorris Rodgers. You know, it's got bipartisan support. A lot of it is borrowed language from the 2022 attempt at a data privacy bill, which, you know, a lot of people actually really supported that bill. So it borrows a lot of the language, including things like preempting state laws and also a data minimization standards. So there are a lot of good things going on for this bill as far as, you know, momentum and support goes. But, you know, there are also a lot of compromises on this bill that could threaten to basically give it the same fate that the 2022 bill had, which is stalling out because of disagreements over some of these compromises.
Got it. Yeah, I know there's always a lot of obstacles to privacy legislation, and I think this bill is no exception. I'm curious, though, just for the average internet user, you know, if this bill were to pass, what is the biggest change they would see to their privacy rights? Why should they be invested in this?
I think the biggest change that this bill would create is shifting the model from, you know, what we currently have right now is notice and consent, or, you know, an opt-out model to a data minimization model. So, you know, what that basically means is right now the way that you can, you know, enact your privacy rights based on the many different states that have privacy laws is very much this opt-out model, right? Where then you have to go to, you know, all of these companies that you use and tell them, hey, please stop sharing my data, or please delete the data that you have on me. And data minimization tries to switch that so that the burden is more on the companies. A company can only really collect and use the data that you would expect for them to use, right? So if I'm, you know, ordering like rideshare or something like that, obviously I have to give them my location data for them to know where to pick me up.
Right.
But then this app, you know, they can't go around and then just say like, oh, we're also going to use your whereabouts to sell targeted advertising because we know now that you are near like a fast food chain or something like that. And, you know, we'll deliver ads to your phone based on that.
And so you mentioned that the drivers behind this bill have some pretty powerful purchase in Congress, right? You've got Senate Commerce Chair Maria Cantwell, House Energy and Commerce Chair Kathy McMorris Rodgers. How much of a difference does that make in terms of this bill having a chance at passing?
Yeah, it makes a huge difference that these two congressional leaders who are also, you know, bipartisan, with Chair Rodgers being a Republican and Chair Cantwell being a Democrat, you know, basically leading on this bill. If we look at the 2022 bill, the American Data Privacy and Protection Act, that was also bipartisan, but that was Chair Rodgers and Frank Pallone, a Democrat from New Jersey. So in 2022, even though it was a bipartisan bill, you know, Senator Cantwell did not support that bill. She had issues with its enforcement mechanisms, specifically with the right to sue over privacy violations, which is a big point that privacy advocates and, you know, a handful of Democrats really want. They think that, you know, the ability for private citizens to sue over these violations is an effective way to help enforce these privacy laws.
Even with these powerful lawmakers behind the bill, I know you've identified two big hurdles that could keep the bill from passing. Let's start with private right of action, or essentially the ability for individual people to sue over privacy violations. Why is that a sticking point here?
So a federal privacy bill in the U.S. was always going to come with compromises. I think that there are significant disagreements between, you know, Republicans and Democrats, and in effect, you know, industry groups and privacy advocates on what a national privacy law should look like. I think that everybody wants a national privacy law, and no one can really agree on what that should look like. So right. Any bill that was proposed for the entire country was always going to come with a set of compromises. And what the American Privacy Rights Act does is, you know, the compromise for Democrats here is that it would preempt state laws. And the compromise for Republicans is that it would include a private right of action, which is the right to sue companies over these violations. There are a handful of lawmakers who are very important that, you know, might not sit well with some of these compromises. So going with private right of action, on Monday, Senate Commerce Committee ranking member Ted Cruz put out a statement saying that he would basically oppose any bill with that language that would allow people to sue for privacy violations. This is something that, you know, tech industry groups have spent the last 3 years fighting across states. The main argument against private right of action from, you know, Republicans and tech industry groups is that it would invite this, you know, flood of lawsuits against tech companies for alleged violations. They often describe these lawsuits as like frivolous cases or something to the degree of ambulance chasers. And it's a very controversial sticking point for a lot of folks. Even in blue states like Oregon, you know, the Republican Party's ability to sink a bill over private right of action basically pressured Democrats to drop that provision from their privacy law. And I, you know, I've been covering the efforts for state privacy laws across the country for a while now, and I see that a lot. So yeah, I mean, Ted Cruz being against that is going to be a major hurdle for this. I know that, you know, the private right of action provisions is really what brought Cantwell on board for this bill as well over the 2022 bill that did not have as strong of a right to sue. So that's going to be the first like sticking point on this.
We'll be right back. The other issue you mentioned here that's likely to throw a wrench in this bill passing is the state preemption issue. I know California lawmakers in particular could be a roadblock there. Tell me how that issue plays out in this bill.
Preemption is definitely going to be playing a role here, especially among California Democrats. The argument behind why state laws should not be exempt is because Congress is just really slow on dealing with tech issues, right? Mm-hmm. And states move a lot faster. So in the 2 years in between now and when Congress last proposed a data privacy law, something like 9 or 10 states passed their own version of a data privacy law instead. And so that's like in California, you know, they've kind of made the argument that even if this bill is great, right, even if this bill does everything that privacy advocates want and things like that, what happens, you know, 5-10 years down the line when some new technology develops that, you know, this bill does not address? You know, what do we do about that? And that you should leave it open for states to be able to develop and move along with technology. And that's exactly what Nancy Pelosi had said in 2022 when she was still Speaker of the House. She basically said that states should be allowed to address these rapid changes in technology with their own laws. And then once that happened, you know, Speaker Pelosi didn't support the bill. That was kind of it for that bill. She hasn't really said anything about the American Privacy Rights Act yet, but I know that the California Privacy Protection Agency, which is extremely influential among California Democrats, at least on privacy laws, they put out a statement on Monday basically saying that, you know, Americans shouldn't have to settle for a federal privacy law that limits their state's ability to continue having these strong protections.
We're having this conversation in early April of an election year, and we just have a discussion draft at this point for this bill. So I guess a reality check, maybe. What is the likelihood that this legislation actually moves in this Congress? And if it doesn't happen in this Congress, is it kind of dead after that?
I think that the staff behind this bill is pretty optimistic. I don't think that they think it's too late because, you know, the American Data Privacy and Protection Act in 2022, that wasn't introduced until like June of 2022. And, you know, you could make the argument that that was also an election year with midterms coming up. And they did progress pretty far on that bill. Like, it didn't really stall out until September. The other caveat to this is that, you know, Chair Rogers is retiring at the end of this year. She's not running for re-election again. So this really is her last chance to get this bill passed. And it's unclear if this bill does not pass this year, like whether or not they're just going to keep using this model or they're just going to have to start from scratch all over again. I think that would be really strange if they started from scratch all over again. But, you know, one of the key lawmakers behind this bill is going to be gone next year. So this is very much of a last chance or a last push from Chair Rogers on this.
Right. Well, and if passed as any sort of precedent, whoever takes over the gavel in that committee will certainly want to have their own input on the bill. The other issue, I guess, that feels really relevant here is artificial intelligence, because Congress is weighing potential AI legislation, but so much of AI is about the data behind it. Does this bill address artificial intelligence in a very direct way?
Yeah, this bill takes a lot of direct action on artificial intelligence, even though it's being, you know, proposed as this data privacy bill. There are a lot of provisions in it about, you know, what the data can be used for within an artificial intelligence context. So one of the biggest parts of it is it takes the civil rights protections that were in the ADPPA from 2022, where it prevents the use of data for discriminatory practices from algorithms. So what these civil rights protections do is say, hey, you cannot use, you know, data that's been collected in a discriminatory practice for, you know, housing opportunities or job opportunities or financial opportunities and things like that. The other part of this law that I think will really affect how artificial intelligence is developed is the data minimization standards that I talked about. You know, it really leaves this gray area on where training data falls under for AI, because a lot of AI training data right now is just kind of like a cash grab, right?
Right.
It seems like a free-for-all right now where it's like, oh, this is publicly available on the internet, or if you used our service, yeah, guess what? We're taking this, we're using it to train our AI. So that's something that like the tech industry is trying to figure out right now, with how does training data fall under data minimization requirements.
And so I guess, Alfred, to close this out, you know, you've obviously covered privacy for quite a long time. You've seen these debates play out over legislation in the past. What's the next thing you're watching for with this legislation to see if it's going to kind of break the privacy curse and make its way to a vote and to potentially law?
I think the next thing that I'm really watching for is, you know, how many people are really willing to compromise on this? There have been a few folks that have told me, you know, if this privacy law is good enough, like if it meets the standards that we're looking for, we are willing to concede on like the preemption point. You know, the California Privacy Protection Agency, they're not opposed to a federal law so much as they are opposed to something that would like basically create a ceiling for states. They think that states should still be able to continue building on top of whatever federal standard is out there. And you see that with other like federal laws. Like I'm going to use HIPAA as an example. You know, that's supposed to be a health privacy law, but there are states that still have their own health privacy laws that build on top of that. So I am trying to see, you know, where these compromises are going to come, because I think right now this perspective is we're not budging on any of these things. And if that continues to happen, like we're going to be having this conversation again for the next data privacy bill that they introduce.
I guess until that conversation, until the next privacy bill in 2026, Alfred, thanks for being on Politico Tech.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That's all for today's Politico Tech. For more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Music in today's episode comes from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our managing producer is Annie Reese. Our producer is Afra Abdullah. and our editors are Steve Heuser, Daniela Cheslow, and Louisa Savage. I'm Stephen Overly. See you back here tomorrow